The views expressed are those of the author as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Angie Nelson. Welcome to KIOW and Bradford's Money Outlook. Join us as we find out what big things are happening at Bradford.
Today we have Shallon Weiss and Jared Raymond from the Bradford Financial Center in Clarion and Garner with me to talk about biotech.
Well, in 2017, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, it cleared Duplimab to treat eczema in adults. And in 2020, after additional clinical studies, the drug's use was expanded to include children ages 6 to 11. And today, Duplimab is the first and only biologic medicine approved to treat eczema from childhood to adulthood. And yet, Duplimab's story is far from complete. The drug is now being tested against other harsh inflammatory medical conditions, like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. That's a lung disease that blocks your airflow and makes it hard to breathe. Over the next couple of years, analysts expect a surge in sales as this extraordinary drug expands its reach into novel disease areas.
And so let's explain the drug approval process.
Even if a drug's use seems obvious, drug developers have to run additional clinical trials to determine whether it's safe and effective for different age groups. The same goes for when a new drug might be useful against different diseases altogether. There's a big difference between the success rates of drugs going through tests to expand use and drugs beating their way to a first approval. The investment risks of the latter are a lot higher. This matters because drugs fail in clinical trials the majority of the time. This can happen for all kinds of reasons.
And let's talk about a few of those reasons.
Roughly half of all experimental drugs failures are because of lack of efficacy. That means the drug doesn't have a measurable benefit against the underlying disease. It simply doesn't work. The other leading cause for failure comes from drug side effects. Roughly 30% of drugs fail for unmanageable toxicity. Usually, drug toxicity is dose dependent. So if a drug exhibits toxic effects at low doses, you might not be able to administer a high enough dose to see a result. Another 15% of drugs fail for poor properties. For example, a drug might not be stable once it's delivered. Natural biochemical processes in our body might break the drug down too quickly, preventing it from having an effect, or alternatively, it might not be readily absorbed in the digestive system. And the remaining factor that causes failure for about 10% of experimental drugs comes from poor strategic planning. Drug developers might overestimate commercial need, or they can't recruit enough patients into a clinical trial to actually complete a study.
So, how many clinical drug trials are actually successful?
Despite the immense effort and resources biopharma companies pour into clinical trials, only a small fraction, around 10%, lead to a drug approval. In other words, 9 out of 10 drug candidates in clinical studies fail during phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. Some drugs even fail during the review process after all the clinical data gets delivered to a regulator like the FDA. The risk of failure is at its highest when drugs are in early phase clinical trials. But the thing is, there are ways to limit your downside risks. Some of the risks go away once a drug is approved. For example, Duplimab was already approved for adult use when it was tested on younger patients. It already went through the entire clinical trials process with success. Expanding the use of an already approved drug means an additional phase 3 trial. So rather than a 9.6% probability of success from phase 1 to approval, the odds of success are roughly 50%. The combination of 58.1% chance of success in phase 3 and 85.3% in review. Expanding a drug's use has big implications on the revenues it can generate. Biotechnology companies are a newer field in medicine. They focus on biologics. By comparison, pharmaceutical companies focus mostly on chemical compounds, a class of drugs typically referred to as small molecules.
And what's the difference between biologics and small molecules?
Well, small molecules are normally produced through chemical synthesis. That makes them much easier to manufacture and thus cheaper to sell. But these drugs also have their limitations. For instance, according to recent studies, small molecules usually carry harsher side effects and toxicity issues. Because biologics are isolated from either humans, animals, or microorganisms, they're much more difficult to develop and produce. But they're also often much more specific when they interact with the intended target, giving them an advantage over small molecules. So when scientists talk about a drug, they like to refer to it as a mechanism of action, or MOA. So MOA defines what a drug does when it enters the body. Dupilumab also works by blocking a type of protein called an interleukin, or an IL, from binding to its corresponding receptors. ILs contribute to a functioning immune system, and they're a signal protein that triggers the immune system to fight off viruses or bacteria in our bodies. And with conditions like eczema, the immune system goes haywire. The release of ILs causes the immune system to mistakenly attack the body, and this results in chronic inflammatory conditions. Dupilumab works on two ILs specifically, IL-4 and IL-13. And by blocking IL-4 and IL-13 from binding to their receptors, the drug curbs the immune system's overreaction. And a calmed immune system leads to less severe symptoms.
And it's not just eczema that can benefit from dupilumab's MOA. What else can?
Although it affects a very different part of the anatomy, COPD follows a similar inflammatory response. This is a lung disease that develops from exposure to tobacco smoke or chemicals. Over time, these can damage your lungs and airways, leading to inflammation. People who suffer from COPD have a persistent cough. They struggle to breathe. The condition worsens over time, and eventually it's hard to perform even routine daily activities. Simply walking up a flight of stairs can leave someone inflicted with COPD gasping for air. For folks who suffer from COPD, dupilumab could offer huge benefits. According to the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine, 20 to 40% of people with COPD suffer from type 2 inflammation. That's a subcategory of inflammation that's driven by IL-4 and 13. In the U.S. alone, approximately 16 million people live with COPD. That means somewhere between 3.2 and 6.4 million people could benefit from dupilumab. And if dupilumab wins FDA approval for COPD, it will be the first biologic to treat the lung disease.
If people have questions about our discussion today to help in managing their wealth journey, what should they do?
For a free consultation to help you manage your wealth journey, contact one of us today at bradfordfinancialcenter.com or call 515-532-6661 or toll free at 1-800-348-4419.
Thank you, Shallon and Jared, for being with us today. Join us again next Tuesday at 9:10 for Bradford's Money Outlook to find out what big things are happening at Bradford. You can also find Bradford's weekly conversations on our website at KIOW.com. I'm Angie Nelson for KIOW.
Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Bradford Financial Center, a registered investment advisor. Insurance services offered through Bradford Insurance. Tax and accounting services offered through Bradford Tax and Accounting Network. Bradford Financial Center, Bradford Insurance, and Bradford Tax and Accounting Network are not affiliated with United Planners. Neither Bradford Financial Center nor United Planners provide tax or legal advice. The views and opinions expressed are based on current economic and market conditions and are subject to change. Statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements are based on current market and economic conditions and assumptions and involve uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to substantially differ from those expressed or implied. Keep in mind that all investing involves risk, and there's no guarantee that any strategy will be successful. References to specific companies are purely informational.